Jim Griffith will explain the way he will preside over this event. Mr. Griffin.
Most of you probably know what the rules and procedures are for conducting public hearings, but I'll just explain it briefly. When council holds public hearings on zoning matters, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to determine whether or not to approve the requested amendment to the comprehensive zoning map. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank will basically give council a report on what happened at the commission hearing or of any action the commission may have taken since their hearing. After that is done and council's been given a chance to ask any questions they want to ask of Mr. Lank, we will then call on the applicants. If the applicant is not represented, then the person who's going to be the spokesperson for the applicant will come down front to the podium, state their name and address, and then give their reasons why they would like county council to approve the application that they have filed. And today, all four of these are conditional uses. And after you have made your presentation, then council will typically ask you questions about anything that they're not clear about. After all of that has occurred, we will then open the floor to public comment. Being a public hearing, we're required to allow the public to comment on each application. If there's somebody here in opposition to the application, then they will also be allowed to speak, and we'll need to state their names and address for the record before they make their statement. If you have a cell phone, if you would please turn it off or turn it to silent service. When you make your statement, you need to stand in front of one of those two little microphones, and you can adjust it to the height of your voice so that this is all recorded and a public record is made of everything that's said at these hearings. At the conclusion of the hearing, council will then decide whether to take action. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred, council will also defer because we have to get their recommendation before we take action. If council didn't defer, then if the commission did not defer but took action, then council can also take action. Or it could decide it wishes to continue it to another date. Does anybody have any questions about the procedure? Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
Yes. First application is conditional use number 1698. The application of Jeffrey and Terry Portman to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for professional office space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 14,999 square feet more or less, lying southeast of Savannah Road, also referred to as Route 9, southwest of Newcastle Street, and 1,200 feet southwest of Road 263. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 13th of 2007. We provided comments from DelDOT and the County Engineering Department. Mr. Portman was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the Commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1698 for Jeffrey and Terry Portman for a professional office on Savannah Road based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is similar to other uses in the area. There are several other medical and professional offices located in this area of Savannah Road. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Three, this use will benefit the safety and convenience of Sussex County residents by providing accessible professional services. Four, this recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, there will only be one unlighted sign on the premise that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. Two, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or towards Savannah Road. Three, the hours of operation for the business on this site shall be limited to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Four, the site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 3-0.
Any questions, Mr. Lank?
I have one additional comment. For the benefit of the council, I passed down copies of the site plan survey of this application. We also received a letter or in the form of a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. It was received on September 14th. And we were advised that the soil on this site is titled Greenwich Loom, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared and a copy of the soil survey map for the area and a description of the soil conditions based on the Greenwich soils. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Would you like to come back?
If no questions by council, is the applicant present?
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Portman. I'm a CPA at 1308 Savannah Road in Lewis. And I'm requesting a conditional use at my home to have professional office space. I currently operate an evening and weekend tax practice, part-time tax practice, have a full-time job during the day.
Dover Street.
Okay. I would like to be able to hire somebody during the day. I currently have three offices, and only one's being used, but I have three offices, a converted garage back from 1998 when I did the work. And I currently have six parking spaces available, which I only meet folks by appointment. So there's no walk-up kind of service there. And I will do no construction. I'm just going to continue to use the facility as I do now. No changes for that. And I currently do have a sign there. It's an unlit sign, and so I don't plan to make any changes there either.
Are the three offices occupied by tenants?
No, just myself. It's my house, and I converted a two-car attached garage to my office back in 98. And
you have a home occupation now?
Yes.
And you just want to be able to have another employee?
Yes, somebody there during the day, yes.
Any questions of Mr. Portman?
No.
Apparently not. Is there anything else you would like to say before we ask if there's anyone else here who would like to be heard?
No, I just thank you for your time and consideration.
Have you seen the conditions that have been proposed?
I have. The only one I'm not sure about is the one about the site plan for planning and zoning.
That just means you have to come back into the commission if you get council approval and get a site plan approved.
Okay.
Showing where your parking is going to be. There are certain requirements to it. It has to be signed and sealed by a surveyor.
It's required because the code says so.
Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be more than what he's submitted so far?
The only thing he would do would be to add the condition of approval on the survey.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, let's see if there's anyone else here, Mr. Portman.
All right. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this particular application? Let the record show that no one else asked to permission to speak or to be recognized.
Close it. Read it.
Okay, I'm not sure I have the ordinances in the tray. Okay.
Sure.
Here we go. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for professional office space to be located in certain parcels of land in Lewis Ring of 100, Sussex County, containing 14,999 square feet, more or less.
Make a motion to approve conditional use number 1698, Jeffrey and Terry Portman.
Second.
With the conditions?
For the conditions, yes, sir.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, second, and Mr. Jones to approve CU 1698 with the four conditions. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Thank you. I apologize for Mr. Jones not being late. We had to go look at some zonings for the county, and we didn't even get any lunch, so I don't think it hurt us anyhow.
Next application is conditional use number 1699, the application of Harry H. Isaacs III consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a go-kart track to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.24 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 231, 570 feet west of the center line of Route 30. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 13th of 2007. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department. There were 7 letters of support received prior to the hearing. Harry H. Isaac III and Zach Crouch were present and gave testimony. Susan Davis and Chris Lovingut were present and gave testimony in support. Harry H. Isaac Jr. gave testimony in support. There were no parties present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1699 for Harry H. Isaac III for a go-kart track based upon the record and for the following reasons. 1, the use will not adversely affect any neighboring or adjacent properties. 2, the activity is of a public character that benefits residents and families of Sussex County that participate in the sport of go-kart racing. 3, this recommendation is subject to the following condition. 1, the use shall be limited to go-kart racing only. 2, the hours of operation shall be one day per weekend. In other words, only Friday, Saturday, or Sunday nights. On the night of operation, the hours of operation shall be between 5 p.m. and midnight. 3, all lighting shall be directed so that it does not shine onto neighboring properties or State Route 30. And 4, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 3-0. For the benefit of council, I passed down copies of the survey and site plan. We did, again, receive a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District in reference to this application. The soil conditions on this site are considered to be Fort Mott Henlopen Complex and Henlopen Rosedale Complex. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. There is a storm flood hazard affected, and that would be the pond itself. There are no off-site or on-site drainage improvements recommended. There are no tax digits affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial, a copy of the soil survey for the area, and a report on the soil conditions of those two soil types I referenced. Gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
Mr. Crouch, are you representing the applicant?
Yes, sir. For the record, Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Fidel, 23 North Walnut Street. Milford, Delaware. Today we're here for conditional use for an existing go-kart track. Harry H. Isaac III is here with me today, which is the applicant. And the property is located from the intersection of Isaacs Road and Reynolds Pond Road, just west, approximately 500 feet, which is, if you refer to the plan, Mr. Isaacs and his wife lives in this residence here. The existing track is behind it. There's bleachers and parking for the go-kart participants back here. There's the two buildings that are located in this area here will be removed as of March of 2008, which is going to provide additional parking for whatever reason. There is an existing entrance, and that's about it. As stated in the conditions are from 5 p.m. to 12 noon, and Mr. Isaacs would like to see if that could be amended from 12 to 12, just because during the later part of the season, they like to move the races up to around noontime, just because of weather, coldness, as well as daylight savings time. So that would be only difference in the conditions, but you know, from that perspective, the existing go-kart track, Mr. Isaacs probably 5 or 6 years ago started this small track with his family. It kind of grew a little bit. There's been no advertising whatsoever. It's just been word of mouth. Folks have just come with their families to enjoy it, and it's become every weekend or every other weekend event. You know, personally, from taking a professionalism out of this thing, I know Trey for over 25 years. I grew up right down the road from him. He does run a very good operation here, very safe and clean. You know, that's why I'm here today. I mean, it's not just because I am a professional engineer and I do support this project, but from the other side, as a friend to Trey, I'm here to represent him and just to let council know that, you know, this is something that is good for the community as well as the operation that he runs is a very safe operation. I think the record shows that Planning Commission recommended approval for this. Mr. Isaacs is here for any questions, and I'm here to answer any questions.
There's no entry fees or anything like that?
There will be, sounds like, after this.
No.
But yeah, why don't you get up and introduce, get on record here.
Hi, I'm Harry Isaacs, the third applicant. We work off donations. That's how the track was built and everything, by people providing you know, donated items, material.
Okay, the dilemma we have sometimes is a conditional use permit will run with the land. So if something happened that they sold this to some other, you know, it became a real popular thing, somebody saw an opportunity to make some money. Is there some wording in here, Jim, that maybe we can try to reference that it is still not a commercial activity? And I mean, my concern is, like I said, it runs with the land. If for some reason he sold it, I know you'll say we'll never sell it, but we can't operate on that kind of premise because, again, it's not given to you; it's given to the land. So my concern would be like, there's no reference to, like, say, alcohol or, you know, presence during these activities, and we're promoting it as a family activity. So, you know, there might be some things we might want to add just to safeguard the future use of this, because this could run forever as a go-kart race. And again, if somebody could, or one of your kids could say, hey, there's money to be made here, and open it up to a more of a...
There might be a couple questions I could ask Trey that might satisfy that question.
Well, I mean, I think we also need something in the conditions to reference.
I can answer that.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
He can answer that question.
Go ahead.
Is this property not part of an ag preservation district?
Yeah.
It's part of an ag district. Not a district per se, but it's in the perpetual easement.
Permanent.
And they have a waiver from the Department of Agriculture to allow them to apply for a condition.
Are you asking the question, or you're saying they do?
No, I say what's in the record.
Okay.
It's in the record.
They have a letter from the Department of Ag saying they have a waiver to allow them to apply for conditional use. They can't apply for a change of zone. They can't do certain things.
And they can't charge for the they can't run it as a commercial operation.
It doesn't say that specifically.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think there needs to be.
I'm just saying the part about the change in hands, they can't really sell it because it's part of the ag preservation district.
Well, wait. They're allowed to sell a farm.
I don't think that'll happen.
Well, I know. Wait, we all say it. I know. I'm just saying.
You can sell the whole farm.
You can sell the whole farm, and somebody could buy the farm. And then, again, you got this conditional use permit.
But they can't get out of the ag preservation condition.
It's your family in the ag preservation, correct?
Why don't we let him give his testimony, and I want you to speak quiet for a minute.
Well, that was the question I asked just about referencing, not the ag district. That doesn't mean we're doing a conditional use
permit. I thought we were supposed to have a public here and let the public talk to us, and then we can ask questions.
Well, let's let Mr. Isaacs, why don't you explain the operation and how you run it and how you would like to run it.
All right. this go-kart track started 5 years ago. My brother-in-law and nephews got a hold of go-karts somehow. Man, we'd really like to have a place to race them. So I dozed up a little area behind the yard, and they started coming over. We raced on dirt. I got a go-kart. My brother-in-law had one. There was four of us. I guess they talked in school. Who knows? More kids came and asked if they could come. Sure. So, you know, we let other kids and families come. And now, lo and behold, it's just grown into something that, you know, 60 to 80 families come and enjoy. And we just, you know, we felt obligated to comply with county or whatever we needed to do to make this thing, you know.
Legal.
Yeah, legal, whatever the proper terminology is. You know, it's... It's a lot of fun for kids. I run a strict, safe operation, as Mr. Crouch just stated, stress safety. It's, you know.
All right, I'm not questioning it. It's just that it's because of the nature of a conditional use runs with the land. we need to not be so focused in that you may always be the operator of this, but there needs to be certain conditions placed on there that we make sure that
the condition can be that I can be the only operator forever and or whatever. I mean, the land will never be sold. It's in ag preservation. It's
I guess the question I have is, what is the fear of it transferring to somebody?
Well, because I'll say, because he's emphasized the children, the family emphasis, another operator could say, you know, we're going to, like a pumpkin chunking got out of hand and got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the crowds, you got 60, 80 people, somebody might say, hey, I could get 200 in here. And before you know it, you might create something in the future. Not saying, I know he was,
you think you'd be able to create one night a week?
But you...
One night a week.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, it runs with the land. The land can be sold. This operation can change hands. Okay. The possibility exists. Just put in conditions, Barnes, that would protect the neighborhood.
Could you put something in there to the effect that if
he is the neighborhood.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
For thousands of acres.
How about, have you seen the area, George? Did you go visit the site?
Hey. I did, too.
No, you
forget
didn't.
It. Okay. You guys.
So you don't know.
All right. I'm trying to ask
beyond
Mr.
me.
Lank is...
Good.
If I could you put something in there to the effect that if the operator changes, they would have to come back for a review of the conditional use?
It would go back to public hearing if you did that.
It would. Modification of any change in the conditions at all would have to be come back for approval of the modification.
Could unless you can make that any... That it would be the Planning and Zoning Commission to review it to keep from having to go back to public hearing.
Mm-hmm. So Gene, are you allowed to just say in a conditional use that it is only for
Jim. His use?
It's Jim.
Jim, I'm sorry. What did I say?
No, I was just saying Gene, that if there's any change in conditions, I was asking Mr. Lank if it could be a requirement that it come back to the commission for review and approval.
Sure, if the conditions are created by the commission and then approved by council, the commission has the authority to change them. I could.
I guess my point
right
is,
now.
Right. Take this whole it's for the children thing out of the equation. What are the specific restrictions you think should be placed on this to protect the community from whoever owns it?
Okay, there's no limit. We've heard about 60 to 80 families. Okay, that could be four people in a family. Who knows? There's no limit on the number of families. This could get bigger. This could get bigger and bigger. You could have hundreds and hundreds of families possibly without any reference to the size of the operation, the use of alcohol and things of that nature. Right now we have a family-run operation. Next thing you know, you could have more people, and then you could have other problems. I'm just trying to say you could put things in here that he's doing.
Start it doesn't hurt anybody. One of the conditions is no alcohol. Is that?
I think that would be a good one. No alcohol permitted during racing events.
I don't know that I would support that.
I don't know how you can tell this gentleman if he wanted to have a beer in his backyard.
During these racing events, I know what you're saying.
All right. Let's
don't
not
play
make this,
with it now, guys.
Let's not make this thing so difficult. Mr. Cole, further comments or questions?
No.
We're going to move this thing along. Mr. Phillips?
No, I don't see
your question.
A problem with what we've got in front of us.
Mr. Rogers, comments or questions?
We still have a public hearing going on. We need to,
we need to do that first.
We're just trying to get to the next phase.
Yeah. Is there anything further, Mr. Isaacs or Mr. Crouch, that the two of you would like to add before we ask if there's anybody from the public present?
Say no.
Okay.
Smart move.
What are you... Gentlemen, have a seat, and we'll see if there's anyone else here. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak in support of this application? Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name's Susan Davis. I'm speaking this afternoon on behalf of myself and my two children. I have a 5-year-old and I have an 8-year-old who race at Mr. Isaacs' property. Mr. Isaacs has done a wonderful job out there creating a fun and safe instructional environment for our local youth to learn all aspects of go-kart racing. Although my children have raced at other tracks, they race at Del Mar, they've gone to Middle Ford, they've been to a lot of them, they prefer Mr. Isaacs because it's home. It's not huge. Their friends and family are there. It's a place where our family, friends, and neighbors can come out and they can cheer on our kids and their friends. Our family has made and strengthened many friendships along the way, and it's wonderful to see our community come together and be so supportive and to help one another, much like the way the little Amish communities come together and help out. I'm not going to ever forget my first race at Trey's. My little boy, who was four at the time, was out there getting ready to race, and his go-kart quit on the line, ready to go out, first time ever, stopped. I don't know if any of you have little boys or grandsons, but the one thing you don't want to see is a four-year-old little boy whose go-kart will not go. He was devastated.
He was crushed.
All of a sudden, all these people came out of nowhere with carburetor cleaner and wrenches and swarmed upon us and fixed it so he could race. I didn't know any of those people. I think I knew one face that day. But they all gathered around to help. And now they're like extended family. We see them probably twice a month, and we get together. People bring, you know, snacks and food for the kids. So it's very nice. Both my children have gained so much more than just go-kart racing. Mr. Isaacs really teaches the children about how it's important to have good moral character, such as being respectful of other people's property, leaving your surroundings just as nice, if not better, than how you found it, showing respect for authority and for each other, good work ethic by making sure that the kids are helping out with the go-karts, the parents don't just tote them out there and do everything for the kids, they're kind of expected to help, as well as good sportsmanship. And it's not just for the boys either. My daughter races, she's eight. There's a number of girls actually that race out there. And Mr. Isaacs has afforded these girls the opportunity to build strong bonds with their fathers and with other important male figures in their lives that they may not otherwise have been given. It's brought many families and friends closer together, and it's made us a stronger community. In a time when children are running wild in a lot of the other communities, I feel really blessed that Mr. Isaacs and his family have opened up their home and their property and dedicated so much of their time so that our children can have a fun, safe place to go. There's not enough places for these kids to go now. They're hanging out on street corners. They're driving around, drinking with their friends. For me, it's a wonderful tool because when my kids don't behave during the week, guess what? You're not going to go racing at Mr. Trey's if you don't do your homework, do your chores, and act right. I also previously was a homeowner on Reynolds Pond Road, the road where the track is located. And if I still live there, unfortunately I had to sell my home due to a divorce, but if I still live there, I would definitely welcome the track with open arms. The lights do not shine on any properties. They're back tucked in the woods. Everything's located on the track. He has a very nice intercom system, which is not loud. They don't play music, so you don't come down the road and hear, you know, thumping of bass going on. It's strictly to let the kids know when it's their time to race, and in case there's an emergency, he can communicate with people in the crowd. He really, really does run a top-notch facility. He really encourages safety. I've never seen really any problems out there, fighting or anything of that nature. It's so family-oriented. You don't have to worry about your kids being out there and running around. So I'm hoping that you all vote yes to pass Mr. Isaac's application so that our families can continue to have a positive place to go and have a good time. Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to speak in support? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Yvonne White, and I didn't plan to say anything today, but I just wanted to reiterate what Susan had said. I have five children. Only one races at Trey's, but all my kids look forward to going there. They have formed bonds. My seven-year-old looks up to the teenagers that are racing there. They'll come, shake hands, give each other a high five, race pointers. They develop bonds that they would have never had if not given the opportunity to be out at Trey's. They don't deal with just children at their age. Trey is always good sportsmanship, safety first, guys. When I take my kids to Trey's track, I don't have to worry about them. It's home. They get done racing, they go play with their cars in the dirt, they go have a birthday party for some driver that had their birthday that week. It's just good, clean fun. It's keeping our kids off the streets, developing morals and friendships they would have never had a chance to have if we didn't get to go to Trey's every week.
Absolutely.
I hope you'll support us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak in support?
All right, thank you.
there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this proposal, or anyone who has a question or concern about it? I can't. Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing.
Any questions from the council?
They requested to modify the one condition from noon to midnight because of darkness in the fall.
Make it 12.
So 5 p.m. becomes 12 noon?
Yes.
Okay.
Any others? All right, read the title, Mr. Griffin.
The ordinance to grant a conditional use in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a go-kart track to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Dean Broad Hill, 100 Sussex County, containing 3.24 acres or less.
Yep. I make a motion we approve conditional use number 1699, Harry H. Isaacs III, with four conditions and modifying the hours from noon until midnight.
Second.
Motion Mr. Rogers, second Mr. Jones, to approve CU 1699 with
four conditions modified number two.
Conditions modified number two to from 12 noon to 12 midnight. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Cole?
Trey, it sounds like you got a lot of friends. In the activity, I have no problem with the activity and what you're saying. My problem is as with conditional uses and the way we operate here at the county council, we have we've set precedent before when it comes to amusements and activities like this, and especially when you're attracting 300 plus people on one of these days that you act. That's a lot of people, especially in a rural road, in a rural area. And I know you guys own all the land around today, but these activities run with the land. And when I look at the use or the conditions, it's limited to go-kart, racing only, hours of operation, now 12 to 12, and all lighting. So in other words, I just think there's a lack of really any safeguards, and I think good rules and good conditions make for good neighbors. And I think that, what you're doing, we could easily put some stuff in here. And I think the next person that stands up in front of us that wants something like this, they may get a lot of stuff, and it's not fair maybe that you get nothing and they get a lot of conditions just because they're not as well known maybe as you are, I think. But so I got problems supporting it, and I mean, I don't have any problem with the activity and everything, but it just lacks any type of safeguards. So what I'm going to do is take a powder and just not vote because
take a powder.
Because if I vote no, everybody go, oh, there's Cole voting no against, something like this. And then, and again, I concur with these families. But I'll just sit at this one and let these guys deal with it. And when they come, if there's any complaints.
Part moved yours.
I count votes, Mr. Cole, a no vote the same.
I understand.
Not voting
but
is
I'm
the
just,
same
I'm
as
just
a no
not
vote.
Gonna,
so.
I just have too many concerns because I think the
want.
Conditional
okay.
use.
Mr. Cole's not voting. Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record, recommendation, planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Based on the record, recommendation, P&Z, and with the modified condition of the time, vote yes.
Mr. Jones.
My vote is yes also with the four conditions and number two being modified.
My vote is yes. I think the conditions will sustain. Motion's carried.
Thank you.
God,
excuse me.
Next application is conditional use number 1752. The application of Michael Orndorff to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 16 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.1 acres more or less, lying northeast of Road 358, also known as Sandy Cove Road, and northwest of Road 357, also known as Cedar Neck Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission heard public hearing on this application on September 13th of 2007.
If I sit through this one, I'll be late.
Mm-hmm. And before I continue reading, I'm going to pass down exhibit booklets. They are the same exhibit booklets received by the Planning and Zoning Commission. We heard comments from DelDOT, the County Engineering Department. We received a letter of opposition from Gary Rosser and Maureen Finney Rosser. Mike Orndorff was present with Bruce Rogers and Gary Couples, or excuse me, Bruce Rogers, attorney, and Gary Couples of ECI, and gave testimony Mr. Rogers submitted copies of petitions and letters in support of the application containing 42 signatures. Mr. Rogers submitted suggested conditions of approval and suggested findings of fact. There were four parties present in opposition and expressed concerns. There was a petition submitted containing 15 signatures of residents in opposition from and the residents living on Cedar Neck Road and Sandy Cove Road. The commission at the conclusion of the public hearing deferred action for further consideration to allow Mr. Burton and Mr. Johnson time to review the record and listen to the tape of the public hearings if they so choose, since they were not present, and that motion carried 3-0. For the benefit of council, also received two additional comments, first one being from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum dated September 12th of 2007. The soils on this site are mapped to be Fort Mott Henlopen Complex and Cleage Loamy Sand. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, the applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements. Attached is a copy of an aerial infrared and a soil map and a description of the soil conditions. We also received an additional letter from the County Engineering Department, which I'll read. It's only a paragraph, and it makes reference to this application. In regards to our telephone conversation on September 20th, 07, we have revisited our comments on the conditional use application 1752. Upon further review of the parcels and the requests, we have determined that we would allow the connection of 16 equivalent dwelling units. In addition, we have confirmed that the owner paid for an additional 8-inch sewer connection for parcel 80.06 at the time of the original construction on Sandy Cove Road. This allows the project to be served from either Cedar Neck Road and or Sandy Cove Road. Address our comments on a concept plan and provide 10 copies for review and approval, and assign John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And that's all I have, John, unless you have questions.
Is the Mr. Rogers, are you representing the applicant?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Bruce Rogers on behalf of the applicant this afternoon, Penny and Mike Orndorff. As was previously stated, the information that we've given to the commission was quite extensive. In addition, with me again today is Mr. Couples, and Mr. and Mrs. Orndorff are here as well. This is really a conditional use in an existing GR zone. It's 4.1 acres on County Road 357, which will contain 2.3 acres of open space. That's roughly about 55% of the community will be in open space. This is going to be a 16-unit townhome community, and most importantly, as I think as you look through the exhibit book, you'll see that this is traditionally and really an infill project. And Mr. Couples will show you the exhibit that he had prepared in that regard a little better on the easels, but this truly is a tab C. You'll see the development around the community. This is consistent, and this is really an infill project. I would note simply for purposes of the record that this could be a 16 single-wide mobile home unit community, which would be permissible within the existing zone. According to what we've been able to provide you on Appendix C in the map, this is in character with the surrounding development. This is indeed a small infill project. Mr. and Mrs. Orndorff will tell you that they've been residents here for quite some time, living in the community now, they want to be active in the planning and the development of the property, and they're not looking at being absentee landlords. They want to use this as part of their retirement plan. Exhibits A provide for Sussex Shores water service. Mr. Lank had indicated to you that an issue that had arisen in the commission concerning the EDUs for sewer has been resolved, so that the request is now proper with the units that we've requested. Mr. Couples will address the issue concerning the stormwater management pond and how that affects the property and what that will have on surrounding neighbors. This is serviced by the Delmarva Power and Light and Verizon. We've had a preliminary site plan on Appendix B, which I think is before you now on the easel itself. And according to the information which was done by ECI, they will be actually returning and planting more trees than are on the area right now. So there's going to be more trees planted than are on the existing area right now. There'll be more than 50% open space. There's going to be some tree line issues which were addressed, I think, as you see on the exhibit and also as the schematic that you have out in front of you. There's the desire to maintain that tree line so that there's not some of the problems that we've seen in marsh farms and buffers of tree farms and things like that, so we don't have that. Mr. Couples will talk about some of the amenities which are involved, certainly the stormwater management pond, a walking area. We've made plans for a gazebo which will be on site. And also there's space which is permissible or which is usable if we wanted to add a tot lot or if the owners wish to add a tot lot after the community is developed. When the association itself is formed, the areas will be subject to common area use as however the community sees to have it fit. It could be a tot lot or some other use that they would want to have in there. One of the reasons that we've had for the long delay between the commencement of this project and where we are today is set forth for you in Exhibit E of your packet. You'll see that there was an issue concerning land ownership. There was a small pie-shaped parcel of land which no one could really find out who owned it and how far back it went. We were able to resolve that by a quitclaim deed. Attachment or Exhibit F to the packet shows the compliance with Ordinance 99C. G, H, and I talk about the environmental assessments and the wetlands and the species on that area. Community support, as Mr. Lankin indicated, there were 42 or 43 letters in support within the neighborhood. Some of the issues that we noticed on opposition when we were at the commission dealt more with the fact that people wanted this to remain either as open space or as single-family dwellings. The opposition seemed to be stressing that fact more so than the fact that this would have been permissible for 16 single wides. In addition, one of the neighbors directly across the street was concerned about lights, and we've talked with Mr. Collins, and I think Mr. Collins is here today to address the council as well. We've tried to meet all the concerns that have been set forth. One of the interesting facts that was brought out in the commission was actually the DelDOT count for traffic has dropped in that area. The count went down from 1631 in 2004 to 490 in 2007. We tried to meet the concerns and fill in as best we can with the surrounding neighborhood so as not to deviate or depart from that area. This is exactly an infill consistent with the area community and development. We've submitted the proposed conditions and finding. Unfortunately, the commission didn't take action on that. Before I turn this over to Mr. Couples, I would ask Mr. Orndorff to come forward, say a couple of words to the commission, or excuse me, to the council. Mr. Orndorff is extraordinarily nervous and had to write down his comments, so bear with him if he reads. I didn't tell him about this until he got here today.
Yeah, I'm Michael Orndorff. My wife Penny and I have lived in this area for over 20 years. We live in the area of the proposed development. Penny has worked for the state of Delaware for over 20 years, and I've worked for George and Lynch out of their Millsboro facility for over 20 years. We are actively involved in the community, including my church at St. Anne's and Bethany Beach. We want to be actively involved in this development of this town home project. This project is part of our retirement planning, so I want to do it right.
Thank you, Mike. At this time, members of the council, I turn it over to Mr. Couples, who will talk to you a little bit more about some of the schematics so that you can see more of the development. Gary.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Gary Couples. I'm a registered professional land surveyor and a professional planner. I'm also the president of ECI 220 Rehoboth Avenue, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I want to talk to you a little bit about Bethany Cedars. Obviously, the location, I think, has been pretty well addressed. The parcel of land in question is about 4.1 acres, more or less. The total number of units, as you can see from the schematic on the boards there, is 16 units, which equates to 4 units per acre, which is an allowable density. As stressed, this is truly an infill project. The zoning as it exists out there is GR. With regard to off-street parking, we've provided with garages 48 spaces, which meets or exceeds the ordinance requirements. With regard to site compatibility, I don't know if you folks are familiar with this area, but if you drive through, we feel that the project is entirely compatible. the general residential zone is just that. It's a general residential zone and encompasses a whole bunch of different types of housing units, ranging from mobile home parks, the recreation parks, the vehicle parks, the travel trailers, individual double-wide and single-wide mobile homes, large-scale townhouse projects and communities, single-family dwellings, and other types of land uses both compliant with the zoning, and if you drive out through there, you'd have questions as to whether they are all compliant with the zoning. But the reality of it is it is truly a general residential zone, making this project, I think, a very, very good fit. If you would look at the property, it could also be 16 mobile home sites on that piece. The site, as we have designed it, is designed to allow for buffers completely around, so that we are going to buffer the project from the surrounding land use. That is something that we feel is imperative to the viability of this project. We want a nice project. DeWarren Doris, right from the very beginning, have stressed to me and my design staff that this is their retirement and they want to do it right. And it's been hands-on from the beginning all the way through this hearing. And we appreciate that type of input from clients. With regard to floodplain, this area is zoned AE in the floodplain. So what that mandates is that all the units have to be built, the living areas have to be above the flood elevation, and that is the plan for this project. With regards to forested areas, currently there's about 27,000 square feet of forest, with about 6,500 square feet being removed, leaving about 73% remaining. It is the intention of the Warndorfs and this plan to replace those trees with landscaping throughout the project site. So what we would sort of feel is that at the end of the day, it's going to be no net loss of forested area. With regard to the site access, we have had meetings with DelDOT on site, and they concur that the entrance needs to be off of Sandy Cove Road right here, rather than Cedar Neck Road. We agreed to that request on the part of DelDOT. As Bruce had mentioned, which was amazing to me, is when we went and looked at the traffic counts on the road there, in 2004 it was 1631 trips. In 2007 it's dropped down to 490. We attribute that to the change in use. There's been some changes in use, and we can demonstrate that by a little exhibit that we put together. This exhibit is in your book, but this exhibit here shows about a mile radius of the project site, and it shows you the different types of projects that are located there. And as you can see, there's certainly a variety of housing types, to say the least. Bruce has already addressed the situation regarding the quitclaim deed. The evidence of the recording of that document is in the book. Amenities, as far as amenities, we are going to have a gazebo, street lights, sidewalks, curbs, and gutters. And if as the project evolves, we're thinking seriously about the construction of a tot lot. That, although is not shown on the plan, at the final plan stage, it will be our intention to provide that amenity. With regard to infrastructure, as Lawrence has indicated to you, it's Sussex County Sewers, the water surface is Sussex Shores, the cable is Mediacom, telephone is Verizon, electric Delmarva Power. There's commitment letters from all those utilities in the book. With regard to Sussex County Ordinance 99-9C, we've responded to every one of those 17 conditions, chapter and verse. I'm not going to bore you with the details there and go through that. Stormwater management, as Lawrence indicated, received a letter from the Conservation District. That is paramount in our mind as far as the evolution of this project to provide stormwater management in accordance with the Conservation District requirements. Sewage, again, we've talked about that, and then there was some question as to the number of EDUs that were available for this site. The county has reviewed its previous correspondent and agrees with us that it is truly 16. That's what I have. Any questions?
I'm not sure if this question would come more appropriately to you, Gary, or to Bruce, but there's an Appendix J that says CCRs, Declaration of Covenants Conditions, but there's nothing behind it. Was that meant to be left out?
Yes, one of the things that we talked about, and I think as Mr. Lank had indicated, we'd done some proposed findings of fact and conditions, and what we were looking at doing is tailoring those based upon if there are any restrictions, if we needed any additional open space, if we needed any additional common areas, if we had to arrange through the Homeowners Association or the Association how to do that. We could tailor those restrictions and restrictive covenants and use those after we received hopeful approval from the commission. So the reason they're left blank is we didn't exactly know what other conditions we may have imposed upon us, and we wanted to do it once as opposed to doing repeated versions of covenants and restrictions.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Good.
We'll see if anyone else is here. Is there anyone else here who wants to speak in support of this application? Anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application or who has a question or concern regarding this application? Yes, sir. Would you come forward, please? State your name and your address and tell us your concern.
My name is Clarence Collins. My address is 38125 Sandy Cove Road. May I go over to your map?
Sure.
Map?
Use that one so we can see it. Yeah, show that one. We can need to see that one better.
I had a question about the blue section here. Is that going to be a wet or is that going to be dry?
Apparently it's going to be a wet pond.
Oh, okay. That's nice. The other question I had was about the road, and I have several properties over here, and I just found out today that a property I have here is in the floodplain. A property I have here is half in the floodplain, which is directly across from this. When I bought those properties, they weren't in the floodplain, and I don't know when they got into the floodplain, but I'm going to find out before I'm here today.
What did it do? 2000, probably? 2000 was the last
one. They remapped the floodplains approximately every 10 years.
Wouldn't you think they would let the property owner know?
Or they notified the county with a set of maps after the maps are completed in about every 10 years. All the numbers change, the elevation change.
Yeah. That's it.
It just means how high, all it affects you is how high your house would have to, the foundation. You're probably within an inch of what you were.
It also affects your insurance.
$8,000 more on the foundation of a property. So it may change my thinking on building a property, a house here, because on this lot, I have 150 foot. Over half that lot is not in the floodplain, so I could move the house to the right side of the lot, out of the floodplain, and then I wouldn't have the light being an issue. But if it's not as expensive as it may be, we may just go ahead and build the house instead of it vertical, instead of horizontal to the road, which I would rather do. And then I would have a bit of a problem with the light. And you just discussed some. You wanted to talk to me a little bit about that prior to the meeting. Mr. Couple wanted to talk to me about that prior to the meeting. That was my concern.
Lights flashing on your proposed new house.
Oh, yeah,
right. It's okay. Going to be, you know, you're in the dining room, and here comes a light in your dining room or your living room or your bedroom or wherever.
If you're 15 feet up, it's going to be pretty tough.
Well, that's true. You could go, and we've really thought about building. I saw Mike and had a very nice house where it's three stories high. It has anything to do with this project, but that road is very narrow. It's not even 2 miles from to the bay. And I'm on that road, I run on that road every day, or I run on the boardwalk, one or the other. But during the summer, there's no bike paths or anything on that road.
Who's your senator and representative?
Gerald Hocker.
That'd be the man with a plan.
And is that a state issue?
That's exactly right.
All right.
State-maintained road, Cedar Neck Road.
I mean, that is a state-maintained.
We'll try to check it out, but, you know, I contact both of them, tell them you want something done. They got money to do it. Tell them to call.
They've heard about it.
Huh?
They've heard about it.
They need to put the squeeze on them then.
Was there any specific objection you have to this application?
Not for this application. It looks to me like he's got a good plan, and it'll be a... I had some question about the value of the properties, and I think it's going to be in the $300,000, which is certainly in that neighborhood would be an asset to the neighborhood. I come from Marion, Pennsylvania, where I used to be able to ride my horse from one farm to the next farm to the next farm.
And you can't even do it up there.
There are no farms anymore. And I generally have an aversion to development, period, but not anything particularly about this development. So,
if you build a house on that property and you were to find out what your base flood elevation requirement is, if you build approximately 2 feet above that minimum, your insurance rate will drop substantially. Just for your information.
I have no flood insurance now.
No, I'm just saying, if you're in a flood zone and you have a specific elevation requirement where your finished first floor must be, you want to build approximately 2 feet above that, and then your insurance will be substantially lower.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else here who wishes to speak in opposition or has a question or an issue about this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
Any questions from the council?
I got
Mr. Jones?
Hey, Bruce. Could you, I see where the project is with it. I'll look at that map, okay? What's the densities around that area? Can you give me some ideas or maybe just...
Probably.
I didn't see anything. I see just 49 lots, but and those kind of things, roughly...
Probably better on this one right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's got your concentrations. Mm-hmm. And I think there was an addition that was given. There was a second part, and I think Mr. Lank may have that in his hand. There was an attachment that we had handed out at the commission, which actually talked about the number of lots and the number of areas which were within that, each one. We didn't just give you the...
All the thing I got is just lots, number of lots.
For example, we've got the reserve has 49 single families.
Right.
Cedar Landing has 143.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah.
Gary, did you do anything additional to talk about those?
No, I think, I would defer to Lawrence, but I believe that probably the average density is probably 4 to the acre. That's what the zoning within that zone.
Most of it's GR and MR.
Most of it's, is that right?
The majority of that area is MR and GR, and it's would be 4 units to the acre. The only place that would be substantially different would be the area of Holly Ridge Terrace and Pinecrest Terrace, which were built with 50 by 100 lots. Which probably gives you 6 because they're not very big tracks to deal with because of lagoons.
Okay.
And then the Bayshore Mobile Home Park has got 370 mobile home and recreational units, which is pre-existing to zoning, and they're 40 or 50 foot lots.
Okay.
Mr. Lank, there was, were you finished, Mr.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a statement in the minutes that engineering department said this exceeded their calculations, and Mr. Couple said that had there been
five. I read that correction when we first started.
Okay.
They changed it to allow 16 units.
Okay.
Because there was an 8-inch connection provided to have access to either Cedar Neck Road or Sandy Cove.
Okay. Anything else before I read the title?
Can't read it. They voted on it.
Oh, they deferred. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. I need a motion to defer if there's no other questions.
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Jones, to defer on CU 1752 until planning zoning make a recommendation. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Thanks.
You're aware, Mr. Rogers, you didn't have to come back. We'll put it on under old business and vote on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is conditional use number 1761, the application of Sharp Energy Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in a MRRPC medium-density residential district, residential planned community, for a public utility for a regional propane storage and distribution facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.529 acres, more or less, lying northeast of a private easement referred to as the maintenance road, being northeast of Road 299, also known as Bay Farm Road, across from Road 299A, also known as Trinity Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 13th of 2007. Commission was provided with an exhibit booklet, which has just been passed down to the council members. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Charles Russell of Sharp Energy Incorporated was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1761 for Sharp Energy Incorporated for a regional propane storage and distribution facility based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the site is currently used and approved at a propane gas storage and pumping facility as part of the Peninsula MRRPC. Two, this approval is necessary to allow the utility to serve customers outside of the Peninsula development. This is a benefit to the residents of Sussex County since it eliminates the need for smaller propane facilities scattered around the area. Three, the use is regulated by federal and state agencies and will safely serve the area communities and residents. Four, there is no other similar available facility providing regional gas storage and pumping in the area. And five, this recommendation shall be subject to the following conditions. One, the applicant shall cooperate with officials of first responder, fire, and EMS persons to appraise them of risk management and fire suppression techniques. Two, the facility shall be operated and maintained in accordance with the requirements of the state fire marshal and any other federal, state, or local government agency with jurisdiction over the use of the site. And three, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 3-0. I have one additional comment, being the comments received in a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District, dated September 12. We are advised that there are about 20 soil types on this site, because they commented on the whole peninsula site, not just this little piece. So I'm not going to read all those. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices if there was any construction and to maintain vegetation. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. If there's any on-site drainage improvements, there would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements for the project, and there are no tax ditches affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared and a copy of a soil survey map, and again, it describes the whole site of the peninsula, which is several hundreds of acres rather than 1.5 acres. And they also provide for the soil types conditions and also make reference to the use of farmland. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
A question to Mr. Lang. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney for Sharp Energy, Inc. and conditional use application number 1761. You've heard Mr. Lank describe the application, and this is a proposal for the regionalization of an existing propane storage distribution and pumping facility that's currently located within the Peninsula subdivision. The site itself contains 1.529 acres and apparently 20 different types of soil. Although we do not have any immediate plans for any additional construction. The present zoning classification is MRRPC, and this facility was approved as a part of the Peninsula subdivision when it was originally approved by the county. I have with me this afternoon Mr. Charles Russell of Sharp Energy, and we have submitted to the commission, Planning Commission, and to the County Council a proposed booklet of exhibits for use with this presentation. We have also submitted, but we have only made one copy of, a supplemental exhibit booklet which contains all of the applicable regulations that go with this type of facility. It seemed like it might be unnecessary for me to produce 10 copies of this, and the expense would have been prohibitive, but we have lodged this with the office so that it will be available if there's any information contained in there that you all would like to have made available to you. With those thoughts in mind, I'd like to call Mr. Russell to the podium and ask him a few questions concerning this project.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Charles Russell. I reside at 5453 Royal Mile Boulevard in Salisbury, Maryland. I'm employed by Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, which is the owner of Sharp Energy, and I've been employed with Chesapeake for 33 years.
And what is your current title with the company?
I am manager of distribution operations.
And in that regard, what is it that you do as a manager of operations for distribution?
I oversee all the distribution operations for Chesapeake Utilities on the Delmarva Peninsula, all construction and service.
In general terms, how many facilities are there on the Delmarva Peninsula or in Sussex County that are similar to the facilities at the peninsula?
There are currently seven type facilities in Sussex County currently, like at peninsula.
And if you would, please, can you describe the facility that is currently at the peninsula that you all operate?
Currently, it's a bulk propane distribution facility where propane is stored in a central storage tank. The gas is vaporized and then regulated down to an operating pressure into a distribution gas main system and services that supply propane gas to individual residences in the development.
And you are currently limited to the peninsula, is that correct?
Currently, we're just limited to the serving the peninsula.
And if this application were granted, where would you propose to extend your service to?
The sister project, Peninsula Lakes, which is being developed by the same developer as the peninsula at Indian River. It's adjacent to the peninsula at Indian River.
And outside of Peninsula Lakes, is it possible for you to serve other areas from this project site?
We could possibly serve other projects if they come along, probably within a mile radius of the site.
And if you were to serve other projects within 1 mile of the current site that you have in the peninsula, would it require any new construction of any kind?
The only new construction would be the installation of mains and services. There would be no other construction needed at the current bulk facility.
As this relates to Peninsula Lakes, this site is how far from it?
Site's approximately about a half a mile away down a maintenance road that where the site is, that's in a maintenance area.
Mr. Russell, I'm going to step to the map to your left, and I'm going to point the facility and ask you, is this where the current facility
is? That is correct.
And this is Peninsula Lake where I'm indicating?
That's correct.
And in order to serve Peninsula Lakes from this site, you'll have a gas main?
Okay. Currently, we have a distribution main that comes down the maintenance road and comes through and feeds throughout the peninsula. We would come off at this site here, off the main, and go into Peninsula Lakes, across Bay Farm Road, and into this cul-de-sac here, and then feed into the development zone.
Mr. Russell, I'm going to direct your attention to tab number 5 in the booklets and ask you to describe what each of these photos show, if you will, please.
Okay, the first photograph under tab 5 is what you see if you drive down the maintenance road to the site itself. You'll see our facility at the end of the road. It's enclosed with a 6-foot-tall chain-link fence. It has warning signs and emergency numbers to contact in case of emergency on the fence itself.
And this is actually, these are actually photographs of the facility at the peninsula, correct?
Yes, these are actual site facilities.
And the next picture?
The next picture shows the two rectangular boxes kind of toward to the right of the pictures are the vaporizers themselves.
you'll see kind of a white line coming down on a 45-degree angle. That is the liquid propane line coming from the tank, goes into the vaporizers, is vaporized and goes to, going toward your left, into a regulator station that drops the pressure down to approximately 15 pounds per square inch, which is the pressure we serve into the peninsula on our mains and distribution system.
The next photo shows what, sir?
The next photo shows where the bulk transport comes in and offloads from the tractor trailer into the tank itself. You'll notice there's a propane emergency shutoff switch there. If there's any emergency or the tapes placed during the offloading of the transport, you can hit that switch. It shuts off all the valves inside the plant, and the bulk transport truck also has the same type of switch on it that shuts off the valves on the truck itself.
Just to backtrack a little bit, what size tank is this?
We have two 30,000-gallon water capacity tanks. They're normally filled to 80%. Propane is maximum fill capacity.
And the propane is brought into this site by truck?
Tractor-trailer transport.
Tractor-trailer transport. Would you turn to the next page, please, and tell me what this describes?
Okay. Again, you see the two vaporizers to the far right, and this is more surely the regulator station itself. The two gray things are the regulators. We build stations with an operator and a monitor regulator system, and also to the left you'll see kind of a T sticking up. That's a relief valve. If one of the regulators should fail, the second regulator would take over and function, and if both regulators should fail, then the relief valve would operate. And in my 33 years with Chesapeake, we've never seen two regulators fail.
The next photo, please. I believe is the last photo. What does this photo show us?
Okay, again, this is just the regulator station is kind of to our right. Our gas line is right where it goes into the ground itself, is right underneath the no smoking sign. It's a 6-inch line, goes into our distribution system. To the left of the gate itself are two switches for shutoff. One, the top switch shut off all the valves in the plant itself, and the second one shuts down the vaporizers should there be an incident at the plant.
The propane storage tanks that are on this site are covered with dirt, is that correct?
Yes, they are a mounded tank structure.
And what is the depth of the cover?
On top of the tank, it's probably around 16 to 18 inches to the top of the tank, and then as the berm comes down, it spreads out.
And there is a chain link fence that surrounds the entire site?
Surrounds the entire structure.
And that fence is locked?
Yes, locked at all times.
And I assume, without making too wild a guess, that the safety is a concern of Sharp Energy?
Yes, safety is utmost.
And how does Sharp Energy address the safety issues surrounding the storage facilities?
We have a very good liaison with all the area fire companies. Our director of safety sends out a certified letter each year to all the fire chiefs on the Delmarva Peninsula advising them of training that Chesapeake and Sharp offers. The training is free to all fire departments. We go in, groups of us with our safety director to the fire departments and discuss differences between natural and propane gas, how to react to incidences with either one. Sometimes we go out and do actual live burns at certain requests. So we're there for you.
And Mr. Russell, the fence serves the purpose of keeping intruders off the site, is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a method by which a delivery truck could communicate with a fire company or whatnot if there is some form of emergency at the site while there is a delivery or exchange being made?
Yes, he could notify him. Basically call 911 is the easiest way of contacting a local fire department.
In the range of speculative, if, for instance, there was a grass fire or something in this area, what effect would that have on this particular site?
very little, if anything. I mean, the grass will burn, but I mean, the site itself, it has numerous safety structures in it. Like you see, the thick volume itself is all the safety regulations that's built into the site. There's excess flow valves on everything there, so if their line is broke or there's relief valves on the tank. The beauty of a berm system is that the tanks are kept a constant temperature, so there's no flame impingement on a tank itself. I mean, it's protected by the soil.
You've made a reference to the thick booklet being the book that tells what the regulatory schemes are. And briefly, if you could just describe what agencies have regulatory authority over the use and occupancy of this property.
Basically,
and you're referring to tab 6?
Tab 6 is National Fire Protection Association codes, U.S. Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Transportation, the Office of the Delaware State Fire Marshal, the Delaware Public Service Commission, and the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. All have inspections on this site.
And these inspections are periodic?
Yes, most of them. Some of them are quarterly and some of them are annually.
And currently the site is in compliance with all the regulatory schemes?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to draw your attention to tab number 7. Can you tell me what that document is, please?
Okay. This is our risk management plan that has to be filed with DENREC on any bulk facility site. It's where they come in and review our site and our assessment. And it's a favorable review from DENREC on the site.
Of your operation?
Of our operations.
Thank you. I have no further questions of Mr. Russell, and I'll make Mr. Russell available for any questions that any or all of you may have. If not, gentlemen, as is always my practice, I have submitted to you a set of proposed conditions and findings of fact. Mr. Smith, at the time of his planning and zoning hearing, did add some conditions concerning coordination and cooperation with first responders. It is currently the policy of Sharp Energy to do that, and so we are not opposed to the insertion of that requirement should you choose to do so. Otherwise, I will stand down.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Would you like me to read the title?
The conditions Mr. Smith talked about are the ones that Mr. Lank read already?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes. Any questions for the council?
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MRRPC medium-density residential district residential planned community for a public utility for a regional propane storage and distribution facility to be located in certain parts of land lying and being in, is this Broadkill 100 it says? Wouldn't it be Indian River?
Indian River.
Should correct that to Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.529 acres, more or less.
So on the ordinance?
Pardon?
I mean, in the record, it's okay. Would the ordinance say that Broadkill?
It does.
Okay.
The heading does say Broadkill.
Yes, Indian River.
You need to amend that to Indian River, gentlemen.
Okay. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to approve CU 1761 with the reasons and three conditions, and also amending the title that says Broadkill 100 to Indian River 100. So we got it all covered. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr.
With Phillip. The conditions.
Mr. Yeah. Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Jones? Yes, for the conditions. Motion's passed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader, for your 8 minutes.
Second.
I have a motion second to adjourn. All in favor, sing five by saying aye. Opposed, so carried.
More than 8 minutes.
Come here.
Robbie,
come here. Show your face. I got to ask you something.
No, I don't have one, though. I need one.